These past years have seen a steady increase in natural disasters. Massive flooding, hurricanes, hailstorms, tornadoes, bomb cyclones, and atmospheric rains and drought. The increases are not limited to the United States, as we are called to be witnesses to this happening in numerous countries around the world. And these events are only the beginning signs of the times and the events yet to come, with the time of the end, the culmination of all things, as it is written in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Before John is given this revelation, there have been throughout the words of God, through the generations, many a warning, prophecy of these things that are to come, and opportunity afforded to mankind to turn from their wicked ways and come before the Lord. Unfortunately, these warnings have not been taken at their word, and many generations have suffered for lack of fear of the Lord. Too many are falling away in these days when they should be seeking the Lord for guidance to navigate the days. Too many are not willing to take a stand and fight for life, whether it be to stop abortion or the bodies of our young people from being destroyed by imaginary possibilities, or even the pursuit of the death of our elderly, because the culture considers their usefulness non-existent, and rather than give them a quality winter season in life, many believe they should just be gone, and by this, lessening the burden of society to care for them. Division can be found in the church over these life issues. Those who accept and or support these issues have turned to a different interpretation of God's word, and with that they no longer seek the face of the God of the Bible, nor understand what the Son of God has done for mankind. And they worship someone who doesn't exist. He is a figment of their imagination, someone who will comfort them with the comfort they demand, who will make them feel acceptable just as they are without requiring any change from them. And so they lose sight of their purpose in life, and that God doesn't change, but that He is the same today as He was yesterday and He will be tomorrow. His word does not fluctuate with the desires and the demands of the culture. There is no judgment or condemnation here, only a pleading with those who are lost and walking away to consider those things that are yet to come and to grasp hold of the realization that there is life to be had and to be lived. But there will also be death eternal for those who reject Jesus and God's ways. Their days will be recorded in the books kept in heaven, and when the last breath for that man leaves the body, what is unfinished will remain so. What is left unsaid will remain so. And the condition of a person's heart will either be found to be righteous and holy, blameless, not perfect, or they will yet be clothed in their sin. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." Matthew 24:35. Truth spoken by Jesus, it will never change, nor will it disappear from the earth. The glory of the Lord is written in the heavens. The record of the Lord is written in the Holy Bible. The word of the Lord has come to redeem and free the captive from bondage, to give life to the dying and hope for tomorrow. 2 Peter 3:10, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief." No one knows. You don't know the day when your last breath will come, when the last hair will fall from your head, or you will lose what you have placed your greatest value on. When the Lord returns to the earth, no one will know the time of His coming, but they will see Him when He comes. In Revelation 21:1-3, John writes, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God.'" Living in the presence of God. There, after having passed through the fires of refinement while walking life's journey on the earth, there forever to be in His presence, in a place that has never had any taste of the curse that had fallen upon man and creation. for man's disobedience towards God's word. The new heaven and the new earth will be more stunning than the Garden of Eden was when creation was first born, a place fit for God to live in, to walk in, to be near his people, his children, where he will never let them out of his sight to be harmed again. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for the words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Revelation 21:4-6a. What begins in Genesis ends in Revelation. Warren Wiersbe summarizes that statement like this. In Genesis, heaven and earth are created, the sun is created, the night is set, the seas are created, the curse is pronounced, death enters, man is driven from the garden, sorrow and pain begin. In Revelation, the new heaven and the earth, no sun is needed, no night is there, there are no more seas, no more curse, no more death, man restored to paradise, no more tears and no more pain. The enemy of God and of man will be locked in the abyss, evil and wickedness set where the boundaries containing them can't be broken or breached for their escape. And the old is forgotten, and the new will fill eternity's days. There is one other record of the words, it is finished, and they were uttered by Jesus as he hung upon the cross. And just before he let loose his last breath, he said, it is finished. And with that he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The price that had been required for the reconciliation of mankind to God had been paid in blood by Jesus Christ. He had to die, to be buried in a borrowed tomb, and to rise again on the third day as victor, having conquered death and now holding the keys to death and Hades. He did what the law could not do. He did what a man could not do. He did what only God can do. And he did it because he loved us, each and every one of us. For us, no sacrifice was too great. That's our God. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. But we're reminded in Revelation 21:8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And this is the second death. You see, we all think what we may of ourselves. We may believe what others say about us. But in the end, or rather at the end, God will be the judge of a person's heart, and he can't be fooled. Those who reject the Son of God, those who remain clothed in their sin, those who hold fast to the hope built on another's faith, and those who deny the sovereignty of Jesus Christ, these same will, after their judgment, find themselves to be residents of hell. Yes, there is an actual hell, and it is a place where all who have rejected Jesus will be cast. All the dark places will be emptied into the abyss, into the lake of fire, the final hell, there to spend eternity amongst the angry, the hateful, the jealous, the envious, the murderers, partakers of sexual immorality, the liars, those who worshipped idols, the vile, morally depraved, wicked, disgusting, repulsive, and unpleasant, and the deniers of Jesus Christ. These will be gathered together for eternity, and there will be heard amongst them weeping and howling and gnashing of teeth, arguing and bickering. It is and will be for eternity, a place of no rest and of no peace. And as the time of the end draws near, may the urgency of these days stir your heart to reach out to those whose destination is this awful place. Remember that God does not look first at the things a man has done. He first looks to see if that man is clothed in righteousness and holiness. And these things that person cannot know without the redeeming blood of Jesus covering them. And so be reminded that no matter how much good a person has appeared to do, if their hearts are not right with the Lord, their good works were for naught. Jesus is the only way for a person to remove themselves from the condemnation that stands on that person, because he alone has paid the price in full for the redemption of that person, and he alone can give the gift of salvation, life, to a dying person. The world needs to know the truth, for it truly is a matter of life and death. Will you rise up, ask for the courage, and the words to tell them, so that they may know before the door to hope closes on them? Pray, Christian, pray that it may be so.